In the sequence of this morning's Mass, the choir is saying, "Together, death and life in a strange conflict strove. The Prince of Life who died now lives and reigns." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We've spent some time from the pulpit here, all Lent long, looking at the meaning of life. We've seen that it's not the regular things, and that it can't possibly be hatred, and that rather it is love. And we look too a bit towards heaven, this Lent. The meaning of life is life. Now you might say to me, well, what on earth is that supposed to mean? It means this, that your life, which has a meaning, is meant to lead to a life which is so abundant, it overflows, like all of the creeks in Kentucky and all of the rivers in Ohio will be doing very soon unless all of this rain stops. A life which overflows beyond your human, paltry, selfish, sinful limitations, beyond all of the boundaries that you've set for yourself or been told you must set over the years, and which will flow finally beyond the grave. Because once you stepped into the waters symbolically at baptism and you went down with Christ into his death and you emerged a new creature in Christ Jesus in his resurrection. The meaning of life is life without end. Per omnia saecula saeculorum. Through all ages of ages, it's sometimes rendered. But the Jewish lyricist Ira Gershwin, he has a nice phrase which really sums up the idea of it in one of his musicals. Ever and a day. That is the meaning of this life. Ever and a day. Worthy of him who gave it to you at the beginning and who got it back for you when, like a baby, you dropped it and fussed for your pacifier. You lost it, and you went on, and you didn't look behind you. You left it behind there. That's the meaning of life. He is there to pick it up and give it back to you. Now, St. Paul insists that you, for your part, that you should purge out all of the old leaven of malice and of wickedness. But there is more to life than that, than leading a merely moral life. A decent life, or even a devout one, in the midst of a world which is quite the opposite, that is no small achievement. No one could take that kind of a life for granted. But all of this is on the outside. It's the Easter outfit of a Christian in the Holy and Catholic Church of our Lord. That is to say, you wear it, but not lightly. And sometimes it's scratchy and starchy. Your new Easter clothes, or that tie the men and boys put on along with the jacket for Sunday, because every Sunday is a little Easter. Inside, though, inside is what makes the difference. Within what's going on this morning. On the outside, you all look pretty good. Congratulations. But what's going on in the inside? The inside must not be a tomb. It must not be all dead and dust and bones, old dried up bones of giving up and letting go and what doesn't matter. No, not a bit of it. They have no place there, not in your soul. Your soul must glow with light, the blessed light of Christ, from inside out. That is the meaning of the first of the ceremonies we performed yesterday at our long, glorious Easter vigil. The fire was blessed first to show that. What is the meaning of life? Well, don't feel bad this Easter, even if you've managed to hear all of the sermons. If you're still a bit fuzzy on it, and if, having heard, you still fudge a bit around the edges, or, as of this morning at least, if you're still keeping firmly one foot in both camps, or if finally you would be one of those who proclaims himself proudly skeptical about this or that doctrine, or it all. Never mind. Never mind. You've come to the garden the third day in the morning, and I assure you, you are in good company this Easter morning, because nobody, that first Easter came with faith to the sepulchre. Well, the angels were there, but they didn't believe. They didn't have to. They knew, and they trembled for love. Devils were there, and they didn't believe either. They knew, and they trembled for fear and for hatred. But of people, of human beings, no one believed. The women, I wonder how they did it, so loyal and faithful. How did they manage to come up with even more precious ointment to anoint our Lord with? But they managed, and they bought the last pound or two on the market as soon as the stores opened that Easter Sunday. And they went to anoint a dead body. And Peter, he and the apostles, they had heard from the women after they saw an angel, but they dismissed it as nonsense. They went to the sepulchre. They ran out of a certain excitement, but they did not go there with any faith. Not even John the Pure, John the adopted son of Mary, not even he had faith. And poor Mary Magdalene there the whole time, clueless, but her heart all full of burning love for her Lord. But for each one of them, for Peter and for James and John and for Mary Magdalene and the holy women, they left the sepulchre in quite a different frame of soul. Why? Because they saw him. They saw him living still. They saw him risen from the dead. The bedrock of our faith is the resurrection. And if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain. What made the difference for them? They met life, and he changed their lives. All of their vague goodwill, and that was there in abundance that morning, their confusion, their disorientation, their distraction, their good but ineffectual intentions, none of it mattered in that moment when they saw him and they believed, and it was enough to change everything. Some of you have been following pretty faithfully these 40 days of Lent. 40, the number stands for a lifetime. And some of you have the whole of your lives ever since your Easter moment when you were reborn at the font, some of you have been following faithfully all the way through. And some of you come running with Peter and John, and not just because you were late for Mass. Some may have come, as people will, late. Just you arrive for Lent, or just for Holy Week, or just for Easter Sunday itself. Coming with all of the burdens you bear and all of the distractions, coming like the holy women, weeping and worrying, wondering, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? This or that problem might seem to seal up the sepulcher of your soul. Who will break it? Who will open it up for me? Well, I join you. I wonder at times myself. But I don't worry, not for those who don't come at all, or those who come running only because they're late, or those who come without weeping, which is not a good sign at all. I know this, that if you are here, you have your fair share of sepulcher sorrows, sealed in deep in your own heart. Even if you're one of those who's just rolled in like a stone with the crowd this day. But you know, you all know the plan, eternal life, the great truths that lead to life, your creed and your prayers, the commandments and the sacraments, the incarnation and the death and the resurrection of our Savior, his seven sacraments and the Holy Mass, a true sacrifice, and his church, the true from the false. More than words, words of life. You know them. But at a certain point, we human beings reach our limit with words. So many have been said and sung so well this Lent. So many prayers have been made, and so many sacraments have been given. And after all of this, I wonder, why, what is there to say but this, that the meaning of life is life itself, and you are face to face with it. It is not an it, it is a person, the second of the adorable Trinity, made man and risen for us. He waits for you today as every day. He waits here in his garden, here in his church, in the tabernacle, no sepulcher that, but sealed with love and glowing with life. He is waiting for your soul. Will he do the rest? Our Lord this morning is rested, and he is refreshed after his 3 days in the sepulcher, whilst we here at church are weary and near worn out, but we are wearing his golden, glowing garments, and we are shining with his reflected glory of sanctifying grace. How could we but leave this last part of it all, the best part, to him who alone can? And so I ask our Lord, for all of you, with great confidence, and I ask you to speak directly to him. You ask him about that meaning of life. Meet him here. He's waiting as he waited for Peter and John and Mary Magdalene and the ladies. Meet him. He's here, who is life itself. He's been waiting for you, and he has that answer but I think he wants to tell you personally. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.